Delays, cancellations, widespread understaffing, frequent overtime and pay disputes. The list of woes within the bus transport sector are many. But at the forefront has been the long-running stoush between Wellington bus drivers and their employer NZ Bus. The Tramways Union has now struck a new deal with the company after negotiations broke down last month. The Greater Regional Council helped the two groups reach an agreement which drivers will vote on June 23rd. Its chair, Darren Ponta, says it's a great result, but now it's time to look to the future. And he wants buses and infrastructure returned to public ownership and says the current public transport operating model doesn't work.
It's led to a race to the bottom in terms of driver wages and conditions, which we're now trying to correct through these types of negotiations and measures that we're putting in place.
And the government is reviewing that model. The Transport Minister, Michael Wood, is open-minded about the idea.
We've already had work going on to establish a living wage floor across the sector, and we want to make sure that we move away from this damaging model of pay and conditions being driven down in competitive tendering processes.
So, should bus operations be returned to public hands? Transport commentator and editor of the Greater Auckland blog, Matt Lowry, joins us to discuss this. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think? Is this just a sector where the market is failing and therefore requires some intervention in a bigger way?
Well, the market has changed quite considerably over the last few decades and in terms of government intervention. And we have a situation now where councils, you know, regional councils or Auckland Transport control almost everything about public transport in the sense of they set the routes, they set the they determine what kind of buses to use, they set all these things up. The only thing that they don't do is actually hire the drivers and run them themselves. So in terms of a change to governments or the councils running them themselves, it's not a significant change from what they're doing now, with the exception of the cost of it.
Mm. Why do we think that the councils or the government would do that bit better?
Well, that becomes the big question that people have, is that why are we paying these companies, we pay them a profit to run them, or they make a profit off doing that. Can the council run the services just as well and or better and, save some of that money and put that money into drivers and more services? That's, of course, the big question that no one can answer.
Well, I suppose critics on the right would point to to history to say they can't, and that we went down this road and you ended up with too many workers for the number of jobs and this sort of thing. And that's why we went through the pain of the 80s and the early 90s to, I guess, get a more leaner, meaner economy.
Yeah, and they would say that. And on the other side, we've also seen situations where, under the previous contracting models, where bus companies were rorting taxpayer subsidies to make additional profit. And so it goes both ways. And so I think there's probably some middle ground. The big challenge to taking over public ownership of bus routes and all the rest of it is the cost of doing it. And that is simply there is a huge upfront cost to buy buses, to buy depots, all those things that are needed to run these services, because there's no guarantee that these bus companies that currently operate them would sell them back to public hands.
So do we need to look at it a bit more in the sense like we do with rail, perhaps, in terms of the amount of money that is invested in bus transport and accept that it is a public good and is just going to require massive subsidies? Is that the end point here?
Well, public transport is also, whether it be bus or rail, is all heavily subsidised. In fact, prior to COVID, in Auckland at least, rail was subsidised to a lesser degree per usage than what buses were. So it's not so much about the subsidies as such. It is about what we value. What we could do with, like some of the railers, we could have councils purchasing the buses and leasing them back to the operators so we have a consistent level of service there. But that still requires drivers to actually drive them. And one of the things that's currently happening is this review of this PTOL model, and that is an opportunity to address those driver wage issues.
It is indeed an interesting time and an interesting sector to look at too, with climate change. Thank you very much for that discussion. There'll be more to come in that area, no doubt. That was Matt Lowry from the Greater Auckland blog.